Next, I'm going to walk you through the process of an action potential, and I'm going to walk you through it in four steps. So the first thing that's going to happen is that you have depolarization to threshold. So before the action potential can take place, you have to have that graded potential that is slowly moving that that internal charge from minus 70 up to minus 60 inside the neuron. And this is going to happen in the cell body of the neuron right next to the where the axon attaches. So once you hit that threshold, the graded potential builds up until threshold is reached. The next step is that once the threshold has been reached, the sodium channels are going to become activated, or they're going to open. And when I say sodium channels in this case, I mean the voltage-gated channels. The voltage-gated sodium channels on the axon are going to open, and they're going to open beginning closest to the cell body. They're not just going to open all the way across the axon. They're just going to open right next to where the axon attaches to the cell body. And when the sodium channels open, because there is such a huge concentration of sodium outside of the cell and such a low concentration of sodium inside the cell, think about it, what's going to happen by simple diffusion? Sodium is going to move from a high concentration of sodium on the outside quickly into the cell where there's a low concentration of sodium. So the second step is the activation or opening of the sodium channels, and that's going to cause rapid depolarization along the axon. Sodium is going to rush in, and it's going to quickly depolarize the inside of that little section of the axon where the sodium channels have opened, and it's going to bring those, it's going to flood them with so much positive sodium, because remember, each sodium ion is bringing a positive charge with it. It's going to make that little area of the axon so positive, it's going to go up to plus 30 millivolts. And once it gets to plus 30 millivolts, an interesting thing is going to happen. The voltage-gated sodium channels are then going to close. And what happens with this is that almost immediately after the sodium channels close, the potassium channels open. So their opening signal is when they're at about plus 30 millivolts. And when the potassium channels open, remember there's lots of potassium stored inside the neuron and very little of it outside the neuron. So once those potassium channels open, the potassium is going to flood out of the neuron, and it's going to bring that charge way back down again. In fact, it'll bring it to minus 90. And what happens is this sequence of events is going to basically travel like a wave all the way down the axon. So you're going to have a sequence of sodium channels opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing, all the way down the axon. And right along with it, you're going to have the potassium channels opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing. And so if you were to take voltage readings all along the axon, you'd find there'd be like a wave of changes in the voltage inside the axon. So once the threshold is hit, you'll see that wave of different charges moving through the axon all the way to the end of the axon. And let's see, I was just trying to think. Once the potassium starts to flood out, this is going to begin the repolarization process and start bringing that internal charge closer to minus 70 again. Now, the last thing that's going to happen is that once this action potential has traveled like a wave through the axon, is that the sodium-potassium pumps are going to do their job, and they're going to return the permeability, or they're going to return the resting potential back to minus 70 millivolts. And that's the return to normal permeability. That's when the sodium and the potassium channels are both closed, and it's now the sodium-potassium pump that is active and returning the sodium that had flooded into the neuron back out, and returning the potassium that had flooded out of the neuron back into the neuron. So, a couple things I want to point out. In that one point, if you take a look on your generation of an action potential pictures, there's a point where the millivolts actually go down to minus 90. And I just want to point out that that's an example of a neuron that's hyperpolarized. Now, this type of action potential, or this process of an action potential, is going to be the same in all neurons, but there's some slight differences in how this action potential is going to travel on a neuron that has myelin as opposed to one that does not. And these are going to be the types of action potential propagation. If there's no myelin present, then the process is called continuous propagation, and it's just as we discussed, there's a spread of an action potential along the entire length of the axon. If there is myelin present, then the type of action potential propagation is going to be what we call saltatory, and the action potential is going to move from node to node. It's much faster. And so it allows this action potential to move much faster across the neuron, and reactions can be quicker.